Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, hour number two. I am Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass on the table for today's show. Hey, going forward with Dana Brown, you're buying him talking about those extensions for Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker. Will they be actually fair offers specifically for Bregman when those offers are made? Do you trust Dana Brown when he's talking these days, since he did give Jose Altuve the deal that he said they wanted to give him when he first took the job? Also on the table, who are the most untouchable figures in sports, and is there anybody that's more untouchable than NBA referees who once again effed up a game last night? But it helped out the Houston Rockets, so we are fans of that. But I wanted to shift into talking about the Houston Texans and the options that they are going to have in the coming months to upgrade their roster. Yeah, I know a lot of people like draft talk. I don't, to be perfectly honest. And I think that free agency is really going to be intriguing this time around for the first time in a couple of years with what the Houston Texans potentially do. So with that in mind, it's time for another episode of Texans Free Agency Watch. Houston Texans Free Agency Watch.
Money does buy happiness when you give it away.
2024.
Y'all know what time it is? Texans
Swarm! Okay. So, since two teams just played in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, the 49ers, I thought we could just focus on those teams and who's going to be available in free agency. Before we get to that, we did put together a checklist of what we want the Houston Texans to go after in free agency. I feel like a center would really help, a safety, a linebacker with coverage ability. We talked about Patrick Queen. We're probably out on Patrick Queen. He's not that great in coverage. Defensive lineman, and to maybe splurge at wide receiver. We've talked about a bunch of them thus far. Trade targets, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, we're out. Michael Thomas, possible free agent, we're out. Mike Evans, T. Higgins, I think we're in. But they will both be very, very expensive. So who's going to be a free agent who played in Super Bowl 58? Well, on the San Francisco 49ers, there's Randy Gregory. He's more off-the-field story guy than an on-the-field impact guy. There's Chase Young. But Chase Young has been, I think, rather disappointing, partly due to injury.
He was good on Sunday, but overall, he has been less than impressive.
Right, Sean. People were so excited about that trade with the Commanders at the trade deadline this year, and did he have that much of an impact in totality? No. I think the 49ers defense had a lot of questions about it going into the Super Bowl. To their credit, they played pretty well in the Super Bowl, but I don't know that Chase Young earned a second contract in San Francisco. He's likely going to be a free agent. Javon Kinlaw as well, but he's been rather disappointing as well. Their defensive tackle that they drafted. So no one really that intriguing in San Francisco. But in Kansas City, there is one free agent who stands out above everybody else and who was part of a prediction from the Bleacher Report. The Bleacher Report put out this graphic with contract predictions for free agency. And it said this: 4 years, $116 million, 80 guaranteed. The Houston Texans give that to Chris Jones. And I mean, that gives me a lot of energy. That is some deep steel blue chew injected directly into my veins. He is technically under contract with Kansas City this season, but it's a void year. He makes $20 million a year, and he turns 30. He is the reason that the 49ers did not score a touchdown on that last drive. He blew up that play on his own. I don't know what the 49ers were doing for getting to block Chris Jones on that play where he comes off of the left side. I really have no idea how they did not account for the best player on the Chiefs defense.
If they're blitzing and we have to let some free runner through, can it not be Chris Jones?
Legitimately, please? The last person that should be the free runner. Legitimately, the last. But we all know how good he is. And also, this is perhaps the most important thing that DeMeco Ryans said at his press conference at the end of the year when the Texans had cleaned out their lockers. And I think just like when Lovie Smith was hinting at the Texans taking a cornerback with that third overall pick with what he said at the end of the year, I think DeMeco Ryans is definitely hinting at something that he would like to see the Houston Texans do either in free agency or in the draft.
The front, again, is everything for me, and we'll invest a ton of resources into the front. Right, if you want to play good defense, right, your front has to be elite. And that's why I envision us playing elite defensive football, and we have to get better there. And to get better, you have to invest the resources there up front. So that's what we'll do. That's where our focus is heading into the offseason, is to make sure our front, right, gives us an opportunity to win some games.
And if you're going to invest in the front, this is the no-brainer decision for the Texans. Push hard for Chris Jones. Now, Chris Jones is a 3-time Super Bowl champion. What else can he accomplish in Kansas City at this point? Other than continue to be a part of a dynasty run. And hey! If that's what he's about, all the credit in the world to him if he takes a little bit of a pay cut for something like that. But when you've won 3 Super Bowls, I feel like you should be all about the money the rest of your career. And we have seen, at least when it comes to the contracts that they've given to coaches, that the Texans clearly have the capital available to throw somebody a big contract. It's just not something that you would expect Nick Caserio to do, given his time with the New England Patriots. But if we're talking about a top-of-the-line defensive tackle, and we're maybe looking at 3 years of high quality play as he is still in his prime, this is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you also throw in the fact, like you mentioned, with Chris Jones, maybe he wants to go back and go for the three-peat with the Chiefs. I will say, though, he did miss the first game of the season this year while he was still negotiating his contract because they franchise tagged him and he didn't want to play on the tag. And so they eventually just signed him to a 1-year deal full of incentives. And so that's what he did coming off a championship looking for the repeat. I'm not sure if he's again going to take a 1-year deal or take a haircut deal for the three-peat.
He will get more money than anybody if he goes elsewhere.
Yes.
He will be the highest-paid free agent this offseason, and he should be. OG from H-Town says, unfortunately, he's won 3 Super Bowls. You think you're going to get the best version once you pay him? I actually do. I do. Look, for some players, when you pay them, yeah, maybe their effort drops off a little bit, but I don't know. You join a team like this that has C.J. Stroud and that has DeMeco Ryans as head coach as well.
Yeah.
I feel like you would be invigorated in some type of way.
Yeah, it's not like when guys like 10, 15 years ago would take the bag from Jacksonville or Tampa or something where they're going to play out the rest of their days playing 6-10 football. It's you're joining a team that the Athletic had an article out today, the way too early NFL rankings, and the Houston Texans are number 5 on that list. So I know it is a big jump because it's a long way than we've come, even from the middle of this past season. But if you're a free agent and you're looking at the Texans, you're looking at joining an actual contender, like a real deal AFC contender this next year. And so I do think it will be a little bit different, even, you know, if you want to go, oh, you give these guys money, are they going to try? I think it's different because he's not going from a contending situation to a just getting the money situation. He's, if he were to sign the deal that you mentioned with the Texans, he would be getting his money to play on a contender.
Yes. And he'd be getting more money. So, for those who don't know, Kansas City's on the border of Kansas and Missouri.
Oh.
Either you're living in Kansas and you have a 3.75% income tax, or you're in Missouri, which is a 4.95% income tax. Guess what? In Texas, there's no income tax, as has been said by a million different people. But once the Texans become good, this is actually a perk. This is something that you should be bringing up every single time you talk. And obviously, yeah, there's the property tax stuff and all sorts of different things. But if you are the Texans, you have the ability, because of who you are as an organization, just look at what Cal McNair's done the last couple of years. Criticize him all you want. They are not penny pinchers here. And two, given the fact that you don't have a state income tax, I think you got a pretty strong pitch to present here. And on top of that, you got D'Amico Ryans as your head coach. This is what Fred Warner of the San Francisco 49ers had to say about the impact D'Amico Ryans had with Brandon Scott of the flagship at Super Bowl media night last week.
I'm not the Fred Warner you see up here today without D'Amico Ryans. He's everything. He's truly everything to my development as a player, as a man, and I'm forever indebted to him. I'm not surprised by the way that they had the success that they had over in Houston this year, because I knew he was going to build a culture right away of them doing the right stuff the right way. They happened to draft a really talented quarterback who is going to be their leader of the future, and really happy for him.
That's another perk here. There's CJ. There's playing for D'Amico. I suppose, again, if you are a guy like Chris Jones and you've been playing for Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo's your defensive coordinator, you are in a damn good situation. Like, there are very few places, probably there are no places that are better than the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I mean, they're perhaps on the verge of a three-peat. And if you want a three-peat, maybe you do take a bit of a haircut. But if you are Chris Jones and you want to get paid, the Texans do have a lot to offer, and they are good. And does Chris Jones want to come home? This is a fun fact about Chris Jones, and it's also a little bit misleading. Did you know that Chris Jones is from Houston?
What?
Houston, Mississippi. Did you know he went to Houston High School in Houston, Mississippi? The Houston High School Hilltoppers.
That's good name. Good name.
Is there any way that you could spit, hey, Houston High School?
Yeah,
Houston
come back
City?
To Houston. It's much nicer than the one it's much
I would
nicer
assume
than,
so.
Than what you remember.
No offense to Mississippi, but I've never been to Mississippi. I don't ever plan
I've only
to go.
Driven through it as fast as I possibly can.
You did go to Mississippi State too? More of a cowbell guy?
Yeah.
So there you go, guys. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or watch on YouTube. Like and subscribe at ESPN Houston. Chris Jones, worth putting all of your money in on him and not giving other guys that you could potentially keep on the Houston Texans, or trying to sign other free agents? Because if you do sign Chris Jones, there will be a cost. You will be able to do less. That's on the table. As well as the most untouchable figures in sports, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
There are thrills and terrible dangers ahead.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
I think Chris Jones should be at the top of the Houston Texans free agency wish list. I think they should give him the bag. A couple of people in our Twitch pushing back on this idea that, hey, Paul, you're exaggerating a little bit with Texas not having a state income tax. We're not telling Chris that. We're not telling Chris that, okay? I'm not a money man. I'm not a financial mogul. Stocks, dividends, I don't even know what that means, okay? I don't know what any of that means. All I know is we're trying to get Chris Jones here by any means necessary. So you bring up the lack of a state income tax. You don't get into the weeds with him. Come on.
Let Chris Jones' financial advisor
deal
with that.
They can figure that out, like Schwab or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he probably has like a personal accountant.
I would think so.
That's the other thing with all the like income tax stuff. They have guys, they're literally paying guys to find every loophole they can.
Yes.
Like, I think they'll be all right.
Taxation is theft.
Especially the difference between what, 1.5% between Kansas and Missouri?
Like, yeah.
I seriously doubt that's impacting where these guys live. I think they can find that extra 1% somewhere.
I think a lot of people live in – so I'm not that familiar with Kansas City, but I did do conservative talk radio in Kansas City for randomly a week. I know, strange. Overland Park is, I think, the part of Kansas City that's technically in Kansas, and that's where a lot of people live, and I'm guessing it's because there's slightly better tax rates. So now you know. So that might be where he is. But guess what? Houston, zero. Zero state income tax. This is not about taxes, whether or not we need him. Yeah, we got some bad roads. Yeah, I get it. I get it. He doesn't need to know that. He doesn't need to know that, okay?
Yeah, that's for his driver to figure out.
Yeah, exactly.
All the problems. Yeah, that's for your maid to figure out. That's...
people are bringing up property taxes or state income taxes in disguise.
I'm just glad a football discussion got turned into,
I know, right?
Economics 301.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
I'm just glad that's what we want to talk about.
More comments here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Double Rods comments, play for a dynasty or go to the Texans. You can't say that anymore. That's same old Texans logic. It's go play with C.J. Stroud. And I would imagine... after Patrick Mahomes, there are very few players across the NFL where a free agent is going to look at the guy who's under center and say, oh, yeah, this guy? Hell yeah. Like, there are very few players after Mahomes where you'd say that about a quarterback, but Stroud is one of those guys now. And DeMeco Ryans is also one of those guys as far as head coaches go. So these are perks in your favor. Like, you are one of the most attractive destinations for free agents if you choose to spend. I do think it is up in the air as far as how much they're going to spend, because there's a lot of guys who are off the books now, and you got to determine who you bring back and who you don't. But if you have money to play with, this guy, for the next 2-3 years, because that's what these contracts generally are, is worth bringing into the building because of, one, just how good of a player he is, and two, this guy has championship pedigree. There is no one on your team that has that right now. And I get it. It's overstated or overrated, the idea of playing in these big games. That has been completely proven false by what the Chiefs have done over these years. Because the Chiefs have been there and done that, and they don't screw up where these other teams generally do. And I know Mahomes threw an interception, and there was a fumble in the game as well for the Chiefs. Doesn't matter, ultimately. The teams that have been here a couple of times, you want guys like that to come into the locker room, because that is what they are missing right now. There's a lot of young, optimistic, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kids, essentially. And they're all really optimistic about the future. But you got to have a big brother in here.
Yeah, and you also, to go hand-in-hand with that, you have to take advantage while not only do you have the Offensive Rookie of the Year, C.J. Stroud, on a rookie deal, on this the second year of his rookie deal, but you also have the defensive player, our defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson, on a rookie deal. And so that's where you can, you know, DeMeco talking about the defensive front and wanting to build through the defensive front. Well, being able to pay Chris Jones and Will Anderson, or even if you want to go, you don't give Chris Jones that, you pay Jonathan Grenard that. Like, you just give that money to Jonathan Grenard. You're still paying some combination of Will Anderson and another really good player a combined $30 million.
To go further, and look, Grenard did great this past season, but if I have to pick between Chris Jones and Jonathan Grenard, Chris Jones every single day.
Agree.
Every day. And nothing against Grenard. Grenard had a great year. He produced. He's a damn good player. I think that it will continue here, but Jones has been doing this for a while, and this is essentially Grenard's breakout year. Is that going to be something that gets him paid, overpaid by another franchise? It does feel like that's the kind of thing that would happen potentially. So if you're going to overpay, Chris Jones is the obvious overpay here as opposed to someone like Jonathan Grenard. We got a couple more comments here. Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston. It's funny. OG from H-Town says, well, I don't know he's going to be the same player, but you only have 3 more years of rookie pay with CJ. Spend it. HRW713 says, show Chris the money.
Yeah, that's the reason why. Because I think we're both fairly, when it comes to NFL free agency, you'd really want to do the shopping around the margins to get a piece here, a piece there that adds like just quality and quality depth to your team. But
yeah,
we both don't really subscribe to the idea of you have to go and get the biggest name in free agency.
Exactly.
However, I think the Texans are in a different situation because of the situation with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. The fact that, like you said, most of these big contracts anyway are only 2 or 3 years long. Guess how much longer C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are going to be cheap? 2 or 3 more years.
Exactly.
So you can really time it up to where you can have a ton of top-end talent on this team. Because two of them, and Tank Dell, if you want to throw in Tank Dell there too, are going to be getting paid under their market value.
He's going to make every single player around him better too. Like, that's one of the few defensive players that you can say that about. That's a guy in the middle of the defensive line. I mean, that's just an absolute wrecking force to have. And I mean, two big plays in the playoffs, single-handedly, Chris Jones may have won the Chiefs 2 games. Because there were open receivers on that play that Josh Allen threw the post route down the middle of the field where the Bills could have scored a touchdown, but Jones makes a great play. The ball's inaccurate. And you see the same thing with Brock Purdy at the very end of the game. 2 game-winning plays by Chris Jones. So it's one player. Generally, I look at overspending in free agency as something that you don't do, but when you're talking about a guy with this kind of pedigree on a team like this with so many things working in their favor as far as the contracts they don't have on the books, this is 100% a guy that I think is worth giving a massive contract to. A couple other comments about free agency. Some of the other guys on the Chiefs whose contracts are coming off of the books, Mecole Hardman. I bet Mecole Hardman
Max
gets
deal.
A dumb contract
Max
somewhere.
Max deal.
No, exactly. He's going to get a dumb contract somewhere else because he made big plays down the stretch. And
yes.
He will also probably falter again unless he decides, you know what, Kansas City's the best place for me. I'm going to stay here the rest of my career, which honestly might be the best thing for him, sort of like what the Patriots used to do when they would bring guys back into the fold who had been gone for a year or two, like a LeGarrette Blunt or something like that.
Yeah, and Collins.
Jamie Collins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Mecole Hardman does seem like he gets paid, I don't know, 50% more than you think
probably.
By the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Like by a terrible team.
Oh, Carolina Panthers.
Like whatever the most, because it would be the Jags, but I think the Jags have honestly run out of money.
So, me too. So, and he was just on the Jets. So.
Yes. So two of the biggest dummies in the league are off the board.
Exactly.
We'll have to find another home for Hardman.
A couple other options from the Chiefs off the books. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. Isn't it funny? Remember when he was like, you got to draft him first overall in fantasy football. What a dumbass take that was. Willie Gay. That's an interesting one as well. He was not making much money this past season. For those who don't know, he is a Chiefs linebacker, and he was a guy that a lot of people were looking at and be like, oh, no, they don't have him against the Baltimore Ravens. How are things going to go? But this is a guy who's got a little bit of speed and has made some big plays himself in the playoffs. So that's another option, but I imagine he's also one of those guys who's likely to get a big-time contract from another just rando NFL team because he has, in the past, been really good against a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. So maybe somebody in the AFC North is going to throw the bag at him.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I'm not sure if Willie Gay. I'm not sure how big of a need linebacker is, or where it is on the like totem pole of Texans' needs. I'd put like the linebackers pretty low on that.
It's not safety. I think safety is a bigger thing to fix because you didn't have just issues covering tight ends because of your linebackers. You also had issues covering like random deep routes because. Honestly, I can't really explain it. It wasn't a great year for Jalen Petrie. It just wasn't.
It wasn't a good year for Petrie, and Jimmy Ward was hurt half the year.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, no offense to Houston Carson and some of the other guys who are being put out there, but those are guys that you put
upgrade.
In worst-case scenario, and they weren't very good. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, who is more untouchable than NBA referees in the world of sports? And maybe an episode to keep that same energy. Remember all of the crap that the Astros got for stealing, son? Well, there's another baseball organization doing some cheapo stuff, and this punishment that they're getting is going completely under the radar. Where is the outrage against this team? You'll find out who next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A couple more questions on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston about the Houston Texans in free agency. If you've been listening this hour, I am pushing Chris Jones to the top of the Paul Gallant and Sean Mapes big board of potential free agency acquisitions. We would put him north of any potential wide receivers that the Houston Texans could sign. I get it. You do have a lot of cap space, and everyone always wants the sexiest thing that's available in free agency, which is generally going to be a wide receiver, and there will be options. Mike Evans is from Galveston. T. Higgins played very well with the Bengals the last couple of years. All of those guys are potential Houston Texans, but I think there's only going to be one big splash free agency signing because of some of the guys that the Houston Texans have to bring back. They don't have as much cap space as you would think that they do right now. There's a list of about 12 to 13 serious decisions that the Houston Texans have to make about whether or not to bring a guy back. So I think there's likely only going to be one big purchase in free agency at most. Someone commented, I think they can get Michael Pittman and Josh Jacobs and Chase Young. No. You're going to have to pay a lot for a running back like Josh Jacobs. I would love to see Jacobs here. I think he's a really tough physical player. But you're going to have to pay a lot for that.
A lot for a running back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And because I think it's still like around $13 million is like worth what the highest paid running backs get. And or at least I think maybe Henry is like at 15 or something. But most of them are like around the low teens kind of range. Whereas like Mike Evans had a report coming out that he's looking for $25 to $30 million a year, which is like so much more. But that is the top of the wide receiver market versus the top of the running back market.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those deals too, where if you're going to give Josh Jacobs a contract, it's probably going to be short term. Yeah. And if it's short term, you can't space the money around. And if you can't space the money around, then you can't really do anything.
Yeah, you can't get as creative with the with the accounting of it. Yeah.
That's the tricky thing about the running back contract. So I like Josh Jacobs. I like Saquon Barkley, but I'm probably out on both of them because it's just going to cost too much and it's going to hurt your ability to get players that have more of an impact. And just about every position in the NFL, even as much as I like running backs and think that running backs matter, just about every other position should be getting paid more because of just the injury problems that running backs face every single year.
And at a certain point, was the biggest problem with the Texans running game this year Singletary, or was it the fact that they couldn't block for Singletary?
I think it was that they couldn't block for Singletary.
And so how is bringing in Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley going to fix that?
Right, exactly.
You're at that point, you're like, well, he can break tackles better than Devin Singletary, but that's not fixing the root of the issue, which is these guys need to block better.
You want to talk about Texans free agency? That's still on the table. Also, who is, I guess, more untouchable than NBA referees after the refs helped the Houston Rockets get a win over the New York Knicks last night? That was definitely not a foul. It was not a foul. Rockets got lucky there. But I want to do a quick episode of Keep That Same Energy. We haven't done this in a while. Basically, this is a segment where we compare coverage of something to the anger and outrage directed at the Houston Astros for the sign-stealing scandal. And we got another example that no one is talking about. Let's hit it.
Have you even slightly insulted the Houston Astros today?
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
We'll hunt you down, mother.
They are for Houston. They got Houston.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We're keeping that same energy.
Now witness the firepower of this battle station.
You may fire when ready.
Alvarez. Drive center field. This turned upside down.
Where the hell is the outrage for former Mets general manager Billy Epler? He has been suspended by Rob Manfred through the 2024 World Series because he fabricated injuries to create open roster spots. Manfred said in a statement, Epler directed, quote, the deliberate fabrication of injuries and the associated submission of documentation for the purposes of securing multiple improper injured list placements during the 2022 and 2023 seasons. Use of the so-called, quote, phantom injured list is thought to be common throughout baseball. Huh, like sign stealing? But Epler is the first to be disciplined. That's it? You suspend the general manager? Can we pause for a moment, too, and figure out what that even means? What does suspending a person in the front office actually do? This person's not allowed to do anything with the organization at all, and you're trying to tell me that you're going to be able to keep this guy, his fingers, tentacles, out of the Mets organization altogether by suspending him? No. Shouldn't the Mets have to fire him? Seems like the Astros were forced to fire both A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. Shouldn't the Mets be forced to fire him? They just get to suspend him? What's up with this? These one-year suspensions and everybody comes back like nothing ever happened. Alex Cora with the Boston Red Sox. Carlos Beltran with the New York Yankees. It's ironic the Yankees hired him when he basically helped, allegedly, the Astros. At least per a lot of people out there, he helped the Astros beat the Yankees. But now he's a Yankee broadcaster. Nothing happened to him. But Billy Epler, this is going under the radar, in my opinion. And, I mean, this is egregious. He's faking injuries. This is a violation of just medicine as a whole.
Yeah, it's the Hippocratic Oath.
Right,
it,
or something.
It goes against all of it. He should be in prison.
100%. Put him in jail. This is fraud. At least remove draft picks. It can't just be suspending a general manager is such a lame punishment. That's not a punishment.
Also, the idea that Billy Epler was some sort of lone actor in this, that you need the medical team to also sign off on this.
Yeah.
You literally also need the team trainers and the medical staff to sign. The players, like, they are just kind of getting told they're on the injured list. I don't know if a player could be like, no, hey, I'm not hurt. And they're like, no, you are hurt.
You're hurt. Here's an envelope.
Yeah.
Say you're hurt. Don't be a rat.
I don't know. I don't know how this is just Billy Epler.
It's not just Billy Epler. It's an organization-wide thing. And they're just suspending the general manager. This is weak. Punish somebody else. Take away a draft pick. Find them or something. Make their collective balance threshold lower or something like that. Whatever the case, this is going completely under the radar. This is 100% cheating. It's apparently a widespread baseball issue, but leave it to Rob Manfred to not actually punish. Like, he's like, oh, I probably sent out a memo, and no one read the memo because it was probably going directly to everyone's spam folder in their email. And because that's probably what happened with the Astros, you know? They sent the memo out about sign stealing, and the Astros probably didn't see it because, you know, they probably don't have the best spam settings in their email. They're not psychopaths who organize their emails and label all, you know?
Yeah, I really don't like the way baseball does this. Like you said, sign stealing, widespread issue, one team gets punished for it. The injured list manipulation, widespread issue, one team gets punished for it. They've done the same thing with like the international money and the international like prospect spending stuff. Widespread issue, one team gets popped for it. It's just like, what are we doing? Either make them not rules or punish everyone.
Exactly. By the way, okay, I missed this. He's an ex-Yankee. Look the other way on some other things. Ex-Angel, too. Huh. Look the other way on the Tyler Skaggs situation. He's not even employed. He's the former general manager of the Mets. So he's suspended for the full season. What does that mean?
So he's taking a year off.
What is up with baseball, like suspending guys for a year? And then I bet he's right back in the front office next year.
Yeah.
Right back. This is crazy.
He's just got to, you know, do his time. You know, he took the fall for everyone else, like his young Henry Hill.
He resigned October 5th, 2023. He was under investigation. I figured, everyone probably figured he was resigning because the Mets were such a massive...
clown show organization.
Right, and they spent all that money and it didn't work out. No. So he was doing something illegal and he gets suspended a year and the Mets don't get suspended at all. But the Astros get punished like crazy for things that other organizations were doing. It's crazy. It's crazy. Manfred's such a weenie.
I'm going to suspend the guy who doesn't have a job.
Good job, dude. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on Twitch as well or on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. Up next, we wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time. Some stories about the city of Houston and the latest in Usher essentially groping Alicia Keys on national television. Her husband weighed in. Paul Galacho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Iocane powder.
It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man.
Back to the Paul Galacho, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Biggest things that we discussed on today's show. One, the Rockets were 100% gifted a victory by a horrible call in the last moments of last night's 105-103 victory against the New York Nets. Knicks, we thank those referees for their service. And as a show that backs the blue... I mean, it's a tough job. It's hard, but the guy clearly effed up the call. They admitted to effing up the call after the fact, and there will be no accountability for it. And it is kind of funny that when the guy, the referee, admits to being wrong, it's still not allowed for Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the Knicks, or Jalen Brunson, the player called for the foul on the Knicks. It's pretty funny that those guys aren't allowed to complain about it without getting fined. They just have to hope that the referee falls on the sword. And they don't always do that. Whether it's the referee analyst that you see on an ESPN or a CBS or a Fox broadcast who are almost always going to back the blue, or it's the NBA's officiating account that does the exact same thing. Referees, when they screw up, no one is going to call them for it that is in a position that matters within league circles. And because of that, these guys face no accountability, no penalties, no fines, no suspensions. It's crazy.
I will, like you said, it is rare that the referee, like in the pool report, is like, yep, I screwed that up. Like, I wonder, does that make it, is that a good thing or that he admits his mistake? Or do you want them to not admit the mistake?
I want them to admit the mistake.
Yeah, okay. So it's ultimately good that he's just like, yeah, screw it. You know what? Looking at it, screwed it up.
If they did it on a more regular basis, I actually think it would be pretty noble of them. But yeah, they never do it. This is an exception to the rule. And that's where we get into a conversation about, well, how do you hold these guys accountable? Something has to be done.
Yeah. And I mean, to be like, in the post-game situation, like it's also rare for coaches that screw things up to just be like, yep, screwed it up. You know, like that is also, it is just rare for people, like, because they get interviewed 20 seconds after the game ends to just be like, yeah, my bad.
Right, exactly.
So it is rare, but, you know, coaches eventually get fired. Players eventually get released or traded. Like,
but referees last forever.
Yeah, that Ed Malloy just gets to, because this is actually the first time anyone said his name on today's show. It's Ed Malloy.
Ed Malloy.
Good old Ed Malloy. There's a hilarious Ed Malloy clip from a few years ago.
There is.
Yeah. Yeah. He blew in a different call. And I think it was in Minnesota. And the Minnesota announcer, like, just goes nuts.
Oh, lost their mind.
You know what? I'll look for it.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll get that in garbage time. The other thing we discussed today, as far as free agency goes, the Houston Texans should put Chris Jones at the absolute top of their wish list, and they should be willing to spend on him, even if it potentially comes at the expense of Jonathan Grenard, because he's that much of a game changer. And if he's on the books for the next 2 to 3 years, which is likely what a contract for Jones would be, where you can get out after the third year or something like that, I feel like he really solidifies the middle of this defense, which D'Amico Ryan said is something that is a priority for the Texans to address this offseason. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. It's time for a little garbage time. I'm only
happy when I'm garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
The first story that we will discuss is the backlash to the halftime show featuring Usher and Alicia Keys, where Usher was a little gropey with Alicia. Definitely looked like he would like to have the relations in that moment. I get it. It's dancing. It's just dancing. But there's nothing more erotic than dancing. Dancing with the Stars, I am shocked that marriages last through those situations, right? Because the Dancing with the Stars, the dancer is almost always this like hot piece of ass, whether it's a guy or a girl. It's always a hot person. And how these marriages last after the fact, I don't know. In this situation here, I mean, it was pretty damn romantic. It seemed pretty romantic up there, but Alicia Keys' husband,
Swizz Beatz.
That's his name?
Yeah. Or that's his, like, he's a producer.
He's his producer. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know his government name.
Swizz Beatz commented this. Y'all talking about the wrong damn thing. Y'all don't see that amazing dress covering the entire stadium. Lightning, siren, laughing emoji, open mouth emoji, fart 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 emoji. Tonight's performance was nothing but amazing with two amazing giants. Congrats, Usher, and my love, Alicia Keys. That song is a classic. We don't do negative vibes on this side. We make history. Peace sign. And then he promoted, I don't know what the hell this is. Giants at Brooklyn Museum. It's open until July. Blessings. Prayer emoji, prayer emoji, prayer emoji, prayer emoji, prayer emoji, prayer emoji, prayer emoji. Okay, so on one hand, this is the most confident person alive.
I was going to say, understanding guy. Very understanding man.
And you know what? This is the correct take. This is the only way that you can handle this situation. If your lady is with somebody else and it's seeming rather over the line, in my opinion, you got to act like it doesn't matter. You got to act like you don't care about it. I don't think that is... I mean, look, I would hate to be in that situation. You got to act like you don't care. You got to. Even if you do care, you got to act like you don't care. I think this is the right move. This is how you look like a very supportive king. And on top of that, remember, Usher's 5'8". So
yes, keep that in mind.
How much danger was he really in?
But I agree with you in this particular situation because it's literally the Super Bowl halftime show. And when you're a performer, like, there are just certain, like... I don't know. There's just certain things that you have to do as a performer that is not always the most, you know, what people should do in their regular marriages.
Yeah.
So if this happened at, like, on the dance floor of a wedding, I don't think Swizz Beatz would be as okay with
it. I agree
it.
With you there.
But it's part of a performance.
Much like in a movie or something like
yes.
that. How many actresses have sex scenes with people that they're not relations
exactly.
with?
Exactly.
Or make out with somebody. Like, it's...
You have to be more understanding.
It's show business, baby. So shout out to him. I feel like that is a man who is very confident.
Yeah, and check out Giants
in himself,
New York,
whatever that is.
I'm glad you read the promo at the end of it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, he just kept on going. I don't know how many people know about Bobby Altop. She is a interviewer that does these very awkward interviews with celebrities. And I don't know if the novelty's worn off or the celebrities understand what they're getting into, but they clearly did not wear off with this, I guess, artist named Suki, who creates music, but does not want to be called a musician.
What do you know?
That you're a musician. But that's why I'm interviewing you today, so I can get to know you.
So I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck that mean? Make magic or something?
Whoop.
What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music. I make music. And that's not all I do. I make music. I act. I'm a TV star, too, a young mogul. Uh-huh.
Really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever the fuck you said.
There we go. Well, guess what? We can't play that because this girl does not have control over her language. A few too many cusses there, but...
Yeah. Thanks for the heads up, Paul.
Listen, I didn't listen to the whole thing.
It's just the first 5 seconds.
Eh, whatever. Listen, she's a musician, but she doesn't want to be called a musician.
Yeah, I think this is a bit. I think it's all a bit. I think the interview style is a bit.
The interview style is definitely a bit. But I think this girl's just an idiot.
I don't know. Because what she says is like...
She called herself a young mogul. Like, you should be banned from ever performing again after calling yourself a young mogul. I'm a TV star. Never heard of you, honey. Never heard of you. I'm Suki.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a musician and Paul hasn't heard of you, you have not made it.
That's true.
Because Paul's heard of every musician.
Every single one. Every single one. And on that note,
saw Alicia Keys. Who's that?
I don't know who that is. Did she sing a song? He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. Like, subscribe, Twitch, or our texters, our tweeters, and our callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace.
Brutal. David Guthrie is right there. He didn't have the guts to call it. Also, Ed Malloy!
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston. Well, on FM, that is.